The following audio is via a Skype call.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. It's so great to have all of you tuning us in and turning us on. I am really excited about introducing all of you to Maria Monti. If you don't know who she is, you will know who she is as we go and do this series. One of the things I love is that each of us is tapped on our shoulders every once in a while as we look at our lives and we look at what we're called to do. Today, you're not only going to hear about what Maria has said yes to, but what you're going to hear about is how she is helping women worldwide understand what it's like to be women, but what it's like to understand that the clothes we put on, especially us women that put on bras every day, understand that there is such a thing as a healthy way to go. Today, we're talking about what? Quantum leaping? Yeah. But first, let's get this conversation started. Listen, I want to start the conversation and talking with you a little bit about the radio series and what you have said yes to in support of women and women's health education. And welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm excited to share this information.
So, I mean, what was this like for you walking one day and thinking, what's my life going to be? How am I going to be able to understand what we can do to educate people, especially women, about what we put on our bodies and what works in a healthy way and what doesn't?
Well, it was literally a crash course for a personal need, in the sense that I came across a situation that was rather unexpected for me personally, in terms of I had a condition called PCOS, and I was told by my medical doctors I would never be able to get pregnant. And then all of a sudden I did. And I went from a 36 C cup over a 3-month period to a 44 triple D, which is substantial. And as I looked in the marketplace, I'm like, there are no bras that are going to accommodate me, because I really wasn't even looking for something that would go beyond a 36C, right? Mm-hmm. And so this was my, trial by fire, I suppose you would call it, because I had to come up with a solution immediately for myself. And that is when I would say there was a divine intervention that came my way, because I was about ready to retire from my postural therapy work. And I met a woman who actually was selling these custom fitted bras. And when she explained them to me, I was like, this is the answer, not only for my own self, but as I've worked in this postural therapy business for over 20 years, I saw it with so many other women that this was an aspect that wasn't being addressed.
Mm. You know, one of the things that I want to mention here, and let's talk about this a little bit more, postural therapy. Let's talk about that, because in the world we're living in today, here's what we've discovered. And I know that the show we're doing with you is not going to talk about shoes, but what we've discovered as women is that we have done extraordinarily strange things just to look good. And part of the journey has been, and we're going to talk about it, it's been about how do we show up in the world, even if it's uncomfortable, not good for us. But the other part of the problem is that we have stepped out to society's view of who we are, what size we are, and the shame and the guilt and the self-consciousness around this eats at us on the inside too. And what you're doing is helping women stand tall, be proud, and comfortable at the same time.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And it's not an easy task because we have peer pressure. You know, we not only have peer pressure from when we start to develop as teenagers, but all the way through our lives with, as you said, you know, there's television, there's magazines of what the perfect woman is supposed to be and what is attractive, blah, 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 right? Mm-hmm. But these bras are about functional support, and I don't think that a lot of women have actually been entertaining those ideas. You know, we buy fashion bras because that's what's out there and that's what's promoted, and that's what's a plethora in the stores. But short of hearing about sports bras, I don't think that the conversation has been had about what a functional bra is and how it can serve you, you know, through many of the hours of the day when, you know, perhaps you're working or you're driving or you're doing something that actually needs to cater to your postural support mm-hmm. and getting you through the day, you know, helping you. And then you can put on those other kind if you like.
Yeah.
So there's options, you know, but
all right. Well, today's show in particular is looking at situations like yourself, the one that you had, where here you are, and all of a sudden, your body changes. Now, we now know about body changing for women over a series of life cycle items. Some of them are life cycle items, and some of them are not. But one of the things we now know is that what the effect is of how we stand, how we walk, how we hold ourselves up has profoundly deep impact in so many ways. How did you go from that personal situation to now being somebody that is out there in the world with the Healthy Bra Company?
Well, at the time that I met this woman that I was discussing with you, I was looking at changing my career. I had spent 20 years in postural therapy, and I felt like I learned everything I wanted to learn, and I needed a new challenge. And I also wanted to really incorporate something that would upgrade. And so as a serendipitous event, I met this woman, and as she described the way the bras are made, and I'll just mention one of the instructions that goes into the bras is called cantilever suspension. Mm-hmm. Well, that's like bridge support. You know, if you think about bridges or houses on the side of hilltops, etc. So the science person in me started like thinking of all the applications that were possible with this and how these were very interesting broad designs that were not out there on the market in a mainstream situation. And I thought, you know, this is how I can marry two careers. I can continue to be a postural therapist and advocate for posture and teach women about posture, but also add a really important missing element is education about their bras and maybe how much their bras might be impacting some of the situations that they're dealing with. You know, not in every case, but in a lot of cases. And going from a C to a triple D, that's a heavy, heavy weight situation. So you're now carrying, it's like carrying a box of something heavy on your arms, you know, and you aren't used to that. Luckily, I was because I had the postural training myself personally for 20 years. But it still was, I thought about it and I'm like, if a woman has to go through this kind of change so rapidly, that weight support's not there. And so I just decided to marry the two careers, and that's how the Healthy Bra Company was born.
Yeah, I love this because now, look, here you and I are talking, and we're going to be doing an entire series as we move forward. And I have an interesting question for you. You know, I know that you have put a lot of time and effort into making sure we're educating women about this, and more importantly, about what their options are. What was it like for you to prepare for this? Because you did so much work and research that brings everything fast forward and gets us up to date with what's really going on in the world around this. What was it like?
Well, quite honestly, I've been doing this research for 20 years and I have, and I've collected from all different sources. And so I wanted to make sure that I had, you know, the big picture really when I was speaking, and then I could speak with authority. And so putting this together this summer and really thinking about how I wanted to approach it, I needed to bring it into the aspect of the real world of what's going on for women every day and why they make the choices that they do, and how can we incorporate perhaps new and better upgraded choices to them, but make it easy, you know, because we're so busy these days that, you know, trying to get more information into our brain, you know, and process it is challenging. So it was actually pretty easy to go through all of this. You know, I took the time and knew the plan, you know, that I wanted to create here. And so I took the 20 years and, you know, everything that we're going to be saying over the next number of sessions is a compilation of all of that.
Well, you know, my personal experience is coming to see you and going through the fitting myself. One of the things I was really struck by as I look back at this, and I want to talk about this as well, is it's almost like there is this science of it. And when I think about over my lifetime, how very little time I have spent really wondering about how a bra feels, how something feels, very little time. And then I think about what you're doing and the many options. The thing that comes to mind is we are treated like a one-size-fits-all community, and the reality is we're not. And that's at the core of what you do, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
What is it about the information that we look at in today's world, right, that describes the personal experiences for people? And what I mean by that is these are personal experiences. It's not just about, do you want to feel great? It's let's talk about something that's going to provide support, help you with other parts of your body. Then I alluded to shoes, and I wasn't joking about that, because how we stand, not just when we walk, but in many situations, affects multiple parts of our bodies. But you're the expert in that arena, right?
Well, not for shoes, but I can tell you for posture, you know, having someone fit you properly for shoes and properly for bras are probably the two most important pieces of clothing that we wear on a regular basis that really need extra attention.
One of the things we're going to do is we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what does this mean? What should you know about making a transition? And can you imagine actually being in comfort? Let's take a short break. When we come back, Maria is going to talk with us about that. But before we do, Maria, what's the best way for people to find out more about you, get a hold of you, and take a look for themselves?
They can go to my website, www.thehealthybracompany.com, all spelled out, or call me. I prefer to actually speak to ladies over the phone, 360-815-3205.
Awesome. When we come back, we're going to talk about how this all unfolds. What does it mean? What does it mean to step into the world of not just owning a healthy bra, but feeling a healthy bra? Stay tuned, everyone. We'll be right back.
This segment is brought to you by The Healthy Bra Company.
Calling all ladies. Are you struggling with neck, back, shoulder pain, or postural issues? You actually might have a related bra problem. Talk to Maria Monti at The Healthy Bra Company. She is a professional postural therapist who offers custom fitted, custom altered bras in 2,500 size combinations specific to your body type, shape, size, anatomical features, and breast weight. Call Maria today to find out more at 360-815-3205.
The following audio is via a Skype call.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's so great to have Maria Monti joining us here today. One more time, Maria, what is the best way for folks to get a hold of you and to find out more about the Healthy Bra Company?
They can call me at 360-815-3205. 3205 for my fitting studio in Linwood, Washington, or my website, www.thehealthybracompany.com.
And I just want to say to everyone, we're going to be doing a series with Maria. So, you know, we're going to be talking about, you know, what a revolutionary bra design looks like as we move forward. Everything from what we can present to you for sports and other types of activities you may be involved in. And then we're going to be looking at how about your health? You know, what physicians and other professionals chime in and say about this. So this is really about not only just looking good, feeling good, and having it be good. So we're going to be getting all of that information as we move forward with the series. Maria, one of the things I think that's important is for us to talk a little bit about, one, what brings people, so to speak, to the table to even talk with you. And we've already done that. You know, it could be a life-changing experience, but hopefully we don't want it to be. You know, we want to share this information so people realize, wait a minute, there's another option. Who can you give us some examples of some of the folks maybe you've worked with and what they've experienced with you?
Sure. And in particular, I'm thinking of one lady named Melissa, and she's actually got a common story as it relates to a lot of ladies. Women end up in the changing rooms in tears because the amount of sizing that's available in the common stores and the weight support of an ample breast, and we're talking about D plus, leaves them very few options. And so they take what they can get, but oftentimes it creates a lot of stress. And so someone like Melissa came to me. She was already an ample size and, you know, 36, and I'm going to say double K, which is unfathomable to most ladies, but that's like having between 10 and 15 D's, if you can imagine. Mm. And this woman was not a tall stature woman either, maybe 5'5", 5'4". So that was a lot of weight to carry around. And so she actually got pregnant and in tears in the stores, she just couldn't find anything that was going to suit for even getting larger as she was. So when she came across me, and I think she even had help from her husband, a lot of husbands get on the internet and they actually start searching and helping their wives find something. And so she came across me when I was fitting in Bellingham, Washington, and that was about 10 years ago. So I've helped her through her regular support of her heavy breasts and her size, as well as through the nursing and the pregnancy, because obviously there were so many different stages of life. She's had her children now, and she uses the bras for regular support and exercise because she needs it, you know. And that's not uncommon in the sense of every woman has a situation where her bra is not satisfying her needs. And it could be this kind of situation, or it could be that she's tried everything in the store, stores that are available and online and what have you. And that's where the design tends to fall short. And so we will be talking about design in another feature, but this was an example of Melissa where basically she had no other option. She tried everything, couldn't find help, and then found myself.
You know, I think for people listening, you know, I could imagine that women find you for a variety of reasons, right?
True.
Yeah,
yes.
Right. Sometimes it's, you know, gee, I heard about you and I want to see if this could be a different experience for me. Mm-hmm. What have you found is like the number one complaint, maybe let's call it, or the number one thing that women say about what their experience is, you know, just by going to the store and getting what's on sale or perhaps even getting something that somebody else gets for them?
I think it's just a general lack of satisfaction. If they've done enough shopping, they know that they're coming across the same thing over and over and over again. It may be a different color. It may have a few little extra aesthetic, you know, accoutrements. It may look slightly different, but all in all, when they put it on, it's still not doing the job. You know, and so there's such a dramatic difference between the design aspect of what the Healthy Bra offers versus, you know, the majority of bras out there are underwire bras. And, you know, this was a mass production in order to accommodate the general public, but they don't work for everybody. And in general, I hear a lot of women say they don't work for me. And so, you know, it may not be that they're looking for me for the reasons that I'm in business, but they've tried everything else. And they're like, I don't want to have underwires anymore, or I don't want the weight hanging from my shoulders, or I don't want to have a uniboob, you know, where everything's squeezed together. Whatever reason, they haven't necessarily tried something like the Healthy Bra Company. So they're looking for an option that, you know, they've tried everything else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And, you know, hopefully that through this series, we're going to be able to educate people so they understand they have more choices, don't you think?
Yes. Yes. And they absolutely do have more choices. But just like anything, you need to look outside the box, because if you keep looking inside the box, you're going to find what's inside the box.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that actually leads to another question for me. I think it's important to talk about what makes these bras so unique. Let's just mention a few things.
Well, the cantilever suspension, which, as I said, is like bridge support. Now, that is done in a wireless way. And most ladies cannot even fathom what that would be like if they've never tried it on. And of course, as you said, you came in and did a fitting yourself. So maybe you want to even comment about that. But that is dramatic, going from an underwire or a wireless bra to something that actually has this cantilever suspension and support in it. It's like nothing they've ever experienced.
You know, one of the things I think that folks don't understand, and I know we're going to talk about it as we go forward, is that there is a level of care in helping find the perfect size or the perfect fit. And I don't think we talk about that enough. And I actually think that's one of the unique things I've experienced with you. It's not a matter of, you know, so much about learning about the technical design, but the very fact that there's a level of precision that we don't use, right, when we buy a bra, but we'll use it when we buy other things, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Right. I mean, very rarely, you know, and I'm going to go back to my shoe analogy. Yeah. Very rarely, are you going to buy a pair of shoes that hurt you, don't feel right? I mean, clearly we're doing it just to look good in a lot of cases, but for everyday wear, we don't do that. We would be out of our minds. But yet, when it comes to this, we compromise.
Well, we compromise because we think we have to, because we don't think there's other options out there. But that's the purpose of doing these interviews, is to let ladies know that there are other options. And as a part of that, because I am a postural therapist, you know, I got so used to spending time with my patients and talking to them about their specific needs and what their goals were. And so as a part of the Healthy Bra system, I actually created a fitting questionnaire that I have ladies fill out so that I can be prepared for them to the best of my ability before they even come in, because we do have over 2,500 size combinations. Once they fill it out, then I talk to them over the phone. Now, this is service time that basically is not done in pretty much any store. I mean, you walk into a bra store, and you're going to certainly have a salesperson who's going to come and say, how can I help you, et cetera. But, you know, they're there in a commercial and consumer type situation, whereas I like to focus on the health education and why this is important and why we can cater to a woman's very specific needs. So the questionnaire might ask them, you know, do you have any back issues, any neck issues? What particular things are problematic for you about bras? And then we can really focus in on their unique body type, their posture, the weight of their breasts, many things that really aren't discussed. And I understand why they aren't, because that's not the purpose, you know, of particular regular stores, you know, it's not. So this is a marriage, like I said, between the work I did as a postural therapist and then educating women that you can actually look more specifically at your body and your breasts and say, okay, I want to be more breast conscious, so I'm going to be more bra conscious. And this is somebody who's asking me the questions that nobody's ever asked me before. And therefore, maybe they have an approach that I haven't experienced before either.
Yeah. And, you know, I know that we're going to be talking about this in future shows. We're going to be talking about, you know, what does it mean to really look at structure and what happens when we are really rolling a boulder uphill, so to speak, and putting pressure on our upper backs and our necks and our, you know, rib cages. I mean, you know, folks experience not being able to breathe well. Mm-hmm. And I know we're going to take this on. And the ladies that are listening to this show, they know what we're talking about. But it is like you said, people generally don't know there's another option. And that's what this radio series about, Maria, right?
Yes. Yes, awesome. Absolutely. And, well, you know, just speaking of that, I want to just mention something.
Sure.
For ladies who are of a certain era, you know, before the Depression, they used to actually have established fitting women in particular stores, and they were the women who specialized in foundation garments. So if you ask your grandmothers, et cetera, they're going to remember that. But we lost that with mass production in the industry, you know, and now it's coming back. And it's coming back in different ways. And this is one way it's going to come back. But we used to have paying attention to particulars. Mm-hmm. And that was a very respected profession, you know, within those huge department stores.
Yeah.
But like I said, we lost it. But I'm not sure if there's ever been a marriage in the way that I was speaking earlier about looking at the posture and then saying, okay, what kind of foundation garment would be best suited for this person's needs, their wants, and what's going on with their body. So that's unique.
It is unique. Well, okay. But look, I know we've got lots more to talk about. I know we're going to be doing a regular series with you, so there's more to come. Thank you for today. And please let folks know again, best way to contact you and speak with you.
Through my website, www.thehealthybracompany.com, or in Lynnwood, Washington, my phone number, 360-815-3205.
Awesome. Last question. What's your personal message? What do you want to leave us with?
I want to leave you with, there is absolutely hope on the horizon. For ladies who think they've tried everything and nothing works, there is absolutely hope on the horizon for something new and different that you haven't experienced.
That's what I'm talking about. We're going to take a short break, everybody. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back.
The following audio is via a Skype call.
Welcome to Double Your Sales Now. Your resources to selling strategies, tips, and best practices to take your performance to the next level. There's no reason you can't double your sales. So let's get to it with your sales coach, Ursula Menches.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Double Your Sales Now. And I am actually turning the mic on myself, and I'm going to be interviewing me today. So I'm actually going to ask myself some of these questions. Some of you have heard my story, but I'm excited to share it with those who haven't and kind of dig deep into these questions about sales and selling. Of course, I have to introduce myself as well, which is a little interesting, maybe even a little awkward, but I'll tell you a little bit about me and then I'll tell you my story. I'm an author, which many of you know, I'm an author of 4 books. All of my books are available on Amazon. It's probably the easiest way to get them. You can also find them on my website, but I would just go to Amazon. Most of you probably have a Prime account, so it's easy to order them there. My journey, my background, you know, I didn't set out to be in sales. I didn't see myself in business either. In fact, you know, I grew up on a farm in southern Minnesota and thought that I would be a veterinarian or maybe I would stay on the farm forever, but realized pretty quickly that that wasn't going to happen. and wasn't an option for me. And so my parents said, go to college and get a good job. So I did. I went to St. Olaf College, and well, at least I went to college. I don't know about the get a good job part right away. I went to St. Olaf College, got a degree in psychology and communication, and realized when I was done with that, that I didn't have many options. I looked at law school, realized it was going to cost a lot of money. I took all these tests at the Career Development Center. They said I'd be really good in sales and marketing. Didn't know what that meant really. You know, is that selling? What does that really mean? Marketing. I was intrigued by it. At that point, I was more interested in psychology. It was one of the reasons I worked in the Career Development Center, because I loved to talk to the psychologists who were helping students in there. And so I had this kind of pull, but I was interested in business. So, you know, if I look at my life now and I think, wow, look how psychology and business came together so seamlessly and so beautifully. But of course, you know, when you're in your early 20s, you don't see that. Instead, I saw panic because I realized I had to pay my college loans back. I'd gotten some great scholarships, but I had a little bit of a loan that I needed to pay off, and wanted to go to law school. And so at that time, I was working at Pier 1 Imports and making $6.25 an hour. And, you know, it was a good wage. It was a fair wage, but it certainly wasn't going to pay for law school. And I thought, well, what am I going to do next? What am I going to do? And my friend, my dear friend Jana, came to me and said, hey, I've got this great opportunity for us. She worked at Pier 1 Imports with me as well. She was a St. Olaf grad and Ole grad also. And I said, well, what's the opportunity? She said, well, I've already talked to the people at Pier 1, and they'll transfer us from the Burnsville Pier 1 location to the Boulder location, and we'll have a job when we get there, and we can live with some of my family members. She had an incredible aunt and uncle who lived in Boulder, and they were going to let us live with them. So, you know, we picked up, we moved. I mean, this was just an amazing opportunity for us because we were great friends. We got to hang out. We got to work at Pier 1. We got to live in the foothills of Boulder. And we just had a great, great, great time. What we realized pretty quickly, though, is that we couldn't live with her aunt and uncle forever, although they were very, very generous with us. And we decided, you know, that we had to start looking for jobs that would pay us a little bit more. And so I was working at Pier 1 one day. And, you know, this is the truth. Like, when you get really clear on something, the next step always shows up. And of course, you've probably, if you've read any law of attraction books or you've read about universal law, you know, this what we call, some people call it the woo-woo or new thought world. They talk about that a lot, right? Universal law, decide that you want something and the way shows up. Well, I'd never read that before, but I experienced that because I got really clear. I said, yes, I'm going to get this job. I'm going to get a job in outside sales. I decided that I needed a job in outside sales. That was my next step. And within a couple of weeks, or maybe even a week, I don't really remember now, but it was really fast. I met someone who worked for an international computer training and consulting company, and she worked in the Boulder office, but they were actually hiring in the Denver office. So I interviewed and they hired me pretty quickly. And I still kind of laugh. I'm not sure why they hired me. I remember thinking, I don't have any sales experience. I don't have any technical knowledge. So it was all about, you know, just my background in, you know, college, my leadership position, some of the jobs I'd had. And I think they thought I would work really hard because I grew up on a farm. And let me tell you, they were right. I mean, on the farm, you work 24/7. Like there's always something to do. You never stop. And so everything after the farm to me seemed like a piece of cake, seemed very easy. So just had this thought every time I'd go to work, like, this is my job. This is work. Now, once they started training me on how to make sales calls, though, that started to shift a little bit because I realized how much I hated cold calling. I hated selling. And yeah, so here I am. I've got this job in outside sales. I'm really excited about it, but now I hate selling. What am I going to do? So I went out and bought every book I could on sales and selling, from Brian Tracy's The Psychology of Selling, which is still one of my favorites, to Jeffrey Gittimer, and on and on. And I read these books and they were amazing. And believe me, I learned a lot. And it was, you know, very useful sales strategy information. But when I would take it out to the client, you know, when I would make cold calls to set appointments, it felt kind of off and things just weren't clicking for me. I had a lot of fear about selling. I, you know, had a lot of limiting beliefs and started to get caught in that cycle of people not wanting to talk to me. And I was like, what am I going to do? Like, this is my job. I got to figure it out. And so at about that same time, I found a book that changed my life by the now late Dr. Wayne Dyer called The Power of Intention. I'm sure many of you have heard of that book, but for me, it was a life changer because I went from feeling pretty powerless to thinking, wow, what if I can really impact the sales process? What if every time I pick up the phone, I can get the appointment? And what if every time I get the appointment, I could actually close the sale? Because what I realized is that when my intention was super clear, I used different words, right? Instead of, well, what do you think? Do you want to have an appointment with me? I mean, who's going to say yes to that too? I'm, you know, calling you because I've learned a lot about your company. I know we can solve some of your problems. I know we can make changes for you. I want to meet with you. Like, I was really clear. That was my intention. And in that moment of confidence and clear intention, they started to say yes to me. And then once I had the appointment and I was in front of them, I had the clear intention that they were my new client. I was going to get the appointment, use different language, and suddenly I was getting a lot of appointments. And so that was a big, a major shift. And pretty quickly, my territory started to grow. My sales started to grow. And within 8 months, I was promoted. It was very, very shocking. I remember still being, I'm still shocked by this, because there was an opportunity to take on the Colorado Springs office as a selling sales manager. And so I said yes to that, and I commuted for a year from Denver to Colorado Springs because I didn't want to move, which is a whole other story, but I did it and grew that office. We grew that office from about nothing to approximately $83,300 per month, which of course, if you do the math, is about $1 million a year, which was pretty exciting. And so my manager came to meet with me after a year. He said, how do you think you're doing? I said, I think I'm doing okay. He said, well, you did so much better than we thought you were going to do. Oh, that's great. Yeah. So my manager, Craig, came down to meet with me and he said, how do you think you're doing? I said, I think I'm doing okay. He said, you did so much better than we thought you were going to do. I was like, okay, what does that mean? He said, we just opened up an office in California and we're interested in having you out and run it. And the long and short of it is, at first I said, no, I didn't want to move. They offered me a base salary of $65,000 a year plus commission. For me at that time, I mean, for anyone, that could be a lot of money. For me, it was like winning the lottery. It was such a big opportunity, plus commission, plus overrides. And so I immediately said yes when I found out the opportunity. Colorado Springs was going great, but this was a major opportunity and, you know, a chance to be in Southern California. And once I got out to Southern California, I really fell in love with it. I mean, what's not to love, right? You have the mountains, you have the ocean. It's incredible. It's gorgeous. It's fun. It's very entrepreneurial. And so I, you know, immediately just was grateful to be out in that feeling, that atmosphere of California. And I met with all the employees when I got out there and realized that, you know, that office was losing quite a bit of money. And we did a quick turnaround on it. I had approximately at that time, about 5 salespeople on my team. And I sat them down. We talked about the power of selling with intention, what it would take for them to really sell with intention. And that was before I wrote my book, but I didn't have the ideas of the book yet. I didn't really know, you know, what that was going to turn into. But really quickly, we grew that office to approximately $300,000 a month pretty quickly. Within about a year, we were at even more than that and growing quickly. Within 3 years, we grew that office at times to about $3 million a month. So we had this incredible journey, this incredible trajectory. And I look back at that and it shocks me because I think, how did we manage to make that happen? But the truth is, we were selling with intention. We were doing some of the things that I'm going to share with you today. And I look back, it was just such a shocking journey. It was shocking too to the salespeople who were part of it, who, you know, were having these major breakthroughs. And what it taught me is that really, truly, anything is possible. And anything is possible in business as sales as well. Often we're thinking way too small. Often we aren't focused on our, you know, top 20% of clients. And we waste a lot of time getting stuck in the minutiae. And, you know, I want to share some of those things with you today, like what really helped us break through. And, you know, we grew that company. Eventually, by the time I was 27 years old, I became president of the company. And, you know, it was by that time, multi-million dollar company. And it was just this incredible journey. It was like getting an MBA on steroids. Because I learned so much, and it set me up to have my own company someday, truly. And I'm grateful for that opportunity. So that was at the age of 27. I was president of the company. By the time, a couple of years later, the company was sold and I just decided to go on my own. And, you know, it was after 9/11. It was kind of a tough time in the training industry. So it wasn't like we were, you know, it was a great time to have the end of that journey, but it was what it was. And so I went out and looked for a new opportunity. ended up doing some consulting for a while, but kind of felt lost. And I remember working with a recruiter, and I was talking to the recruiter, and you know, he was, I wanted to be the president of the next, you know, $20 million company. And he would kind of laugh at me. And finally, one day he said, Ursula, why don't you just start your own company? And it was like, ding, ding, ding. Why don't I just start my own company? What could that look like? And I went home and told my husband. Of course, my husband rolled his eyes. He was like, I've been telling you that forever. So the universe had given me many signs to start my own company. So I finally did it. And since then, I've had the opportunity, having my own company has allowed me to have peace, a lot of peace and freedom in my life, but most of all, help a lot of entrepreneurs and sales professionals make a lot of money so that they can give back to the organizations they care about and live a great life. Like, that's what gets me up every day. That is my mission. That's what I care about. And, you know, it's given me the opportunity to write a lot of books and to just, you know, grow my speaking career, which was not something I had expected I was going to do because I have a deep fear of public speaking. You can Google this. I actually have glossophobia, and overcoming that was, you know, a big part of my journey, which I'll share a little bit with you today. So, you know, that's my story. That's why I ended up, how I got here. And of course, along the way, I have to give credit to so many mentors and coaches who showed up on the way and really made a difference in my life, as I'm sure those of you who are listening who have had many mentors and coaches as well. So here we go. I'm going to turn the tables on myself. I'm going to ask these questions as if I'm interviewing me, and let's see what comes up. I'm excited to find out what's going on. If you're not drinking a cup of coffee, cheers. I'm having a nice cup of coffee with you this morning. A little Nespresso always hits the spot. So the first question, so Ursula, when I launched my first business, what limiting beliefs did I have about sales and selling, right? First question I always ask. And this is so funny because I'm turning the tables on myself, right? I'm asking this question, when I launched my business for the first time, what limiting beliefs did I have about sales or selling? I had so many limiting beliefs about sales and selling, and I've already shared some of those with you. But when I started my own company, you know, it was all about myself and my self-worth, because what you realize really quickly when you have your own company is that you're selling you first and foremost, and you have to get past that. But it's so hard because it was easy for me to sell someone else's product, but when it was just me, it was like, wow, who am I? Am I enough? Am I worth it? You know, is my product worth it? Is my training worth it? And I always say that now, looking back, you know, having your own business is the biggest self-development course you'll ever have or you'll ever be on, right? Because it forces you to think about, it forces you to look at yourself. It brings everything up, right? And so that's what started me on my own healing journey. It's what started me on my self-development journey. It's what started me studying quantum physics, really. I mean, it was like what's led down that path, because I had to take a good hard look at what I believed about me. It's easy to hide behind other products or services, but when you become the product or service, you become very vulnerable, which, you know, I did. And I had to face some pretty hard truths. And I, you know, the thing I realized really quickly is I couldn't do it alone. I needed to find people who would help me. And it's one of the reasons that I studied NLP at the NLP Institute of California, which was amazing. It was 4 weeks spread out over about 6 months. We'd go back for a week at a time. And I think I cried through the first 2 weeks of the training sessions because I just had so much stuff coming up that I didn't even know I had to work on. But there was just a lot of stuff from childhood and, you know, elementary school and high school and all these things that had happened that had kind of gotten lodged and I didn't know it. And so I had to confront it. But what was amazing though is that I got these tools, these NLP tools. I met all of these healers and I was able to change a lot of limiting beliefs and shift a lot of my internal world so that I could, you know, show up as the confident human being that I wanted to show up as, which of course translated into sales in my business eventually. The next question, of course, is, you know, when did you double your sales for the first time? Well, in my own company, I remember, you know, I started out in 2004 as just a business coaching company. And, you know, it was okay. It was successful. I was making a good living. I'd replaced my income, but I wasn't doing extremely well and wasn't where I wanted to be. But one of the things that happened was the market started to crash around, you know, 2006, 2007, and, you know, even more so 2008. And I, in between that time, you know, my husband and I had taken on a lot of real estate. So kind of like right before the crash in California, we noticed it pretty early, I think, because we were in the Inland Empire. And when the market crashed, it crashed fast. And I remember like just being so petrified because all of a sudden we had 6 mortgages to pay. We didn't have renters. We couldn't sell the houses. And we just thought, what are we going to do? And at that time, you know, the right thing to do seemed to keep, of course, was to keep paying mortgages because we had no idea what we were in for. We didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know how long the market was going to be down. Ha ha ha. For those of you who know, like we were decimated. I mean, the market was stayed down for a long time in California. It's still recovering, but I didn't know that. And so I realized that, you know, I was going to have to grow my business really quickly to not only pay all my business costs, pay myself, but also start to cover 6 mortgages. So that was my motivation to get to the next level. And often necessity is the thing that you know, breeds success or takes us to that next level. And I absolutely had to grow the business quickly. And so at that time, I had thought about launching a class, and it was based on my book. It was my book at that time. I was working on the Selling with Intention Intensive. So I was working on the Selling with Intention, and I was working on Selling with Intention. And I decided that I wanted to have a class on it. And so I launched the Selling with Intention Intensive at that time, at a very stressful time. And I charged $1,000 a person, which I didn't think anyone would pay. It turned out we filled the class and people did pay. And of course, I had, not of course, but I had amazing support from the Inland Empire Women's Business Center at that time, who donated space. And in exchange, I had given them some seats for some of their clients. And so I didn't have a lot of costs. And it was amazing because the class was profitable right out of the gate, which I had not, you know, thought was possible. And I was able to pay the mortgages that month, my husband and I. But of course, Tim had lots of his things going on as well, but he was in real estate. So things had very much slowed down for him as well. And it just was, it wasn't a great time, but we got through it. And that was when I doubled my sales for the first time. It was more than a double. I mean, it was such a significant growth time because I started offering more and more of those classes. So third question, after I doubled my sales, what did I believe about sales and selling then? I started to get really clear that because I was getting feedback from my clients, and feedback makes a big difference, right? I was getting feedback that not only did they enjoy the class, but they were getting great results and they were actually growing their business really quickly. Some were doubling and tripling their sales in a short amount of time. And so all of a sudden my belief went from, oh my gosh, I'm selling something, to I'm solving problems. And today I always say, you know, I'm not a salesperson. I'm a professionally persistent problem solver. And I'm going to keep calling you until I can solve your problem if you let me, right? And that's what I want all of you to think as well. You are a professionally persistent problem solver, and you are going to keep calling until you solve their problem. Because when you believe that, when you know that you are a professionally persistent problem solver, you become unstoppable. So hopefully you wrote that down. So the number one limiting belief that I look back and gosh, there were so many limiting beliefs that I had in the past, but the number one limiting belief was really about self-worth. And I touched on this already, but it was believing that I was worth it so that I could believe my product was worth it. And we've talked a lot about this on the show, that the imposter syndrome, you know, the imposter syndrome is, you know, alive. I know people who we perceive as being, you know, super, super successful. And yet, you know, they still think someone's going to find out, you know, are they enough? And if not, I mean, what if I'm not enough? What does that mean? And so, you know, looking at yourself, of course, we're all enough. We know we're all enough, but sometimes we don't feel like we are enough, right? And yet that's just not the truth. The truth is that you are more than enough right now. There's nothing that you need to do. There's nothing you need to change. There's nothing that needs to happen other than you knowing and trusting that you're already enough. And when you get that, a lot of times your businesses start to skyrocket. And so here's the thing. One of the reasons I do this show is so that you really do have a chance to look at your own limiting beliefs and see where you might be getting stuck so that you can work on them. And I just want to encourage you to do that. Figure out where you're getting stuck so that you can make the changes that you need to make, that you want to make in your business and in your life. All right, next question. This is one of my favorite questions, is to share your top 2 strategies that you used to double your sales and how you did it. Because, you know, I think we learn through other people's, of course, we learn through other people's success stories and their examples, right? And so I want to help you in this way as well. Like what I did that worked well. So there's 2 things that I did in the very beginning that worked well for me. Number one is networking. And I networked all the time, everywhere, any day. If there was a place to go networking, I was there in a second. And in the beginning, that was great. I needed to meet a lot of people. I grew a pretty large network in Southern California, which really launched my business. And I'm still connected to many of those people today who are clients and, you know, mentors and coaches and friends. Now, my rule of thumb for networking, which I share with my clients, is a rule of three, to find an association, a referral group, and a charity that you can be part of. Because a lot of people are networking too many places and they're overwhelmed. And of course, this is as your business starts to grow. In the beginning, you have to network a lot of places. I get it. So find that. Find an association, a business association that you could be part of. A referral group. And a referral group, you know, is like a BNI or a team referral network, a group that allows you to pass leads back and forth to each other, which is really powerful. I was part of a group called the Leaders Club back in the day, which was wonderful. And the third one is to find a charity or a nonprofit that you care about and serve on the board. I really believe it's important to serve in that capacity because you get to know people in a different way and you get to impact the charity at a higher level. Now, all of these groups, I would encourage you to be on their leadership teams because that's where the magic happens and that's where the deeper relationships are built. The second strategy that I use that's been super successful and impactful in my business is speaking, which a lot of you probably know that already, but I've been a speaker for a long time, and being, you know, a speaker has allowed me to be in front of so many prospective clients and people that I've been able to connect with and who've become my clients over the years. What I didn't expect is that I would become a professional speaker. So I'm also paid to deliver keynotes. I'm also a professional trainer, which I didn't expect, especially as I mentioned earlier, because I have glossophobia, which is a super deep fear of public speaking. Like, you'd rather die than get on stage. Some of you can relate to this. So it's certainly something that I've had to work hard to overcome over the years, but I've done it. And I know it's part of my journey, just, you know, learning to overcome fear, learning to bust through limiting beliefs, because it applies in speaking, it applies in selling, it applies in everything I do. And it's how I help my clients today. And so those were the top two strategies that we use, networking and speaking. Now, that has morphed over time as we've expanded into the online world. Certainly now social media and online marketing are really, really important tools. All right, next question. I'm an expert in, I would say, sales. That's my thing, right? So I want to share my top 2 to 3 strategies that I teach my clients and that we teach at our Selling with Intention. Wow, I was going to call it the Selling with Intention Intensive. That's my throwback. Now we call it Sales Camp, our 2-day Sales Camp course. Number one, so one of my top strategy, like if you want to grow your business, is to have a goal that is worthy of you. All right. And what I mean by that is most of us are shooting for mediocre goals when we could be asking for the moon. And the thing is, if you don't ask for it, it will never show up. I will promise you that. So if you have a 5-figure business and you want a 6-figure business, but you never create projections, meaning you never work out how to get there. You never work out how much you're going to sell per month or how many clients that is and what your costs are going to be. If you never put the numbers on paper, it cannot happen. When you get really clear on the numbers, right, the goal, and you break it down and you work it backwards to figure out how to get there, the way always shows up. I want you to think of projections. Projections, again, is just, you know, your sales goals, your cost of sales, and then the rest of your costs underneath that, your expenses, so you can figure out what your net profit is, right? That's how you can see what a projection is. You could do that over 12 months to see what your projection looks like for the entire year, right? When you have that, it is a roadmap. And my encouragement to all of you who are listening is to create a projection that is a big stretch goal for you. Now, a lot of people argue with me and say that's very, you know, that it's discouraging. So here's the trick, okay? Set the projection, but don't beat yourself up about it, all right? Like, let's say you want to be at 20,000 a month, and maybe you've never been at 20,000 a month. That's perfect, and that's fine. So, you know, you want to be there, and maybe the first month you hit 10,000, but you don't hit 20,000. Well, don't beat yourself up. Just realize, keep resetting that goal for 20,000, because when you do that, you keep creating the space for it to get there and for the clients to show up. And that's the key. Hopefully that makes sense to everyone. The second strategy is to realize that you aren't being pushy. I mentioned this before, but I am a professionally persistent problem solver, and so are you. You are a professionally persistent problem solver. You're not pushy. You're not salesy. And I want you to just say that over and over again, write it down, put it everywhere where you're going to see it, and just trust and know that that is who you are. Third, and this is big, we just spent a lot of time on this today, but you have to decide to work with your top 20% of clients. Like, look at the clients you've been working with. And if you don't know your top 20%, an easy way to figure it out is to look at who your top client is. Who's your favorite client? What is it about your favorite client that you love? And it doesn't mean, and this could be a business, like there's someone at the business who represents that client, or it could be, you know, an individual client. So it could be a business, could be an individual client, but look at like, what are the attributes of that client that makes them so great for you? Is it that, you know, they see you as the expert, they're coachable, they trust you, they pay you on time, they refer other clients? Like, what is it that makes them your favorite? And then also look at other clients who aren't a fit. What is it about them that makes them not a fit for you, right? Why do you know that they're not a fit? Often there is this, you know, there's some very clear reasons why they're not a good fit. And the next level of this is that you have to start saying no to those prospects and clients who aren't a fit. You just have to say no. If they're not ready, they're not ready. If it's not a good fit, they're not a good fit. It'll save you so much time and pain on the back end. Because the truth is, when you say yes to clients who are not a good fit, you have a limiting belief that there's not enough business out there. You have a limiting belief that there's just not enough. And when you believe that, that's when you start to get stuck. So what I want you to think about is who your top 20% is, and get really clear that you're only going to say yes to your top 20% and start to say no to those clients who aren't a fit. I guarantee you, if you do that, your business will be in a different place in 90 days. So that's what I have for you today. I just want to thank you for listening. This has been such a pleasure. I do have a gift for you. If you haven't been to our website yet, we have a brand new webinar. So if you go to salescoachnow.com, at the very top right, it says, join me today for my new webinar. I'd love for you to do that. The webinar is the Authentic Sales Formula, an Entrepreneur's Guide to Serving More Clients Without Being Pushy or Salesy. Isn't that what we all want? So I'm going to encourage you to go there, sign up for it, go through the course. It lasts about an hour, and it's just a great way to jumpstart your sales or to take it to the next level this year. Again, I want to thank you all for listening. It's just a pleasure to connect with you from all over the world. If there's anything we can do for you, email me at ursula@salescoachnow.com and make this your most epic year yet.
Thank you for listening to Double Your Sales Now. To get even more information to take your sales to the next level, visit us at salescoachnow.com. That's salescoachnow.com. Join us again next week to learn how to double your sales now.
The preceding audio was via a Skype call.